గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. వేణుం క్వానాథం అరవిందాదలాయకాశం భార్గవతం శమాష్టితం బుధశూందరాంగం కందార్పకోటి కమనీయ విశేషశోభం. గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. అంగనీయస్య సకలేంద్రియవృత్తిమాంతి పశ్యాంతి పాంతి కలయాంతి శిరాం జగాంతి ఆనందాశ్చిన్మయాసదు స్వల విగ్రహస్య. గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. గోవిందం ఆది పురుషం తమహాం భజామి. హరే కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి, హరి కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి, హరి కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి, హరి కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి, హరి కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి, హరి కృష్ణ హరి కృష్ణ 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 హరి హరి, హరి రామ హరి రామ 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 హరి హరి. జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ బిహారీ. జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ బిహారీ. జయ రాధా మాధవ జయ కుంజ బిహారి. జయ గోపీ జన వల్లభా జయ గిరి వరదారి. గోపీ జన వల్లభా జయ గిరి వరదారి. జయ గోపీ జన వల్లభా Jaya Giri Varadhari, Yashodhana Nandana Rajajanaranjana, Rajajanaranjana, Yashodhanandana, Rajajanaranjana, Yamunatira Vanachari, Yamunatira Vanachari, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much, Dishana. Hare Krishna, everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. So before we begin, let's offer our prayers to our Guru Parampara to seek their mercy. Om Jnanati Mirandasa Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamariyam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadavaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhavitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tat Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishadhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaura Pishe Namah I offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna Chaitanya, who is more magnanimous than any other avatar, even Krishna himself, because he is bestowing freely what no one else has ever given, and that is Krishna Prema. Krishna Varnam Krisha Krishnam Sanga Panga Asta Parshadam Yagnahi Sankirtana Prayer Yajanti Su Medhasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregation chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Now, prayers to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Nana Sastra Vicharne Kanipuno Chadadharma Samsthapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Anandena Matya. कालिकौ वन्दे रूप सनातन रघुयुगौ श्री जीव गोपालकौ. Translation. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Shri Sanatana Goswami, Shri Rupa Goswami, Shri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Shri Raghunath Das Goswami, Shri Jiva Goswami, and Shri Gopala Bhatt Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus, they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Shri Radha and Krishna. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narom Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nashtaprayesha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, everyone. Please accept my humble obeisances. Oh, Lord Shri Prabhupada, thank you very much. Welcome back. Today's, as Sanjeev Prabhu said, is our Param Guru, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj. So let us seek his mercy. So before we begin today's class, we have been discussing from Tattva Sandarbha of Srila Jiva Goswami. And we last week covered lesson 6, and today we should be doing lesson 7. But before we begin, let us quickly review what we covered. Because both lesson 6 and 7, they form the same theme actually. And as you just see the very first PowerPoint here, the characteristics of Srimad Bhagavatam that establish its epistemological validity. We have been discussing Anucheda 19 through 26. There are 8 Anuchedas, 8 sections. The first 4 we discussed last week, that form lesson 6. And here it is, as you can see. So this is all about identifying and glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. So first section, that was subsection, Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literature, and that we covered in text 19 to 22. And today we will be going on where Srila Jiva Goswami is going to show that Srimad Bhagavatam is self-authoritative, and that is Anuchedas 23-26, lesson 7. So let us review very briefly what we covered last week about text 19 through 22, lesson 6. So Prabhuji, so we'll run the slides very quickly, sort of help us to quickly review. So Prabhuji, next PowerPoint. So as you can see, the next one is this, the first part. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literature. So what we are going to, what we saw in this section, different Puranas, beginning with Matsya Purana, Garuda Purana, Skanda Purana, Padma Purana, and so on, they all glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. And they all bring out the 5 characteristics of Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So here, there are 4 basic themes are there. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra and Gayatri Mantra. And then we will see the other Puranas. Actually, we saw how they glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. And we also saw how Srimad Bhagavatam also explains the meaning of Mahabharata. And then, of course, Gayatri Mantra is further deeply explained by Srila Jiva Goswami, how Gayatri Mantra Srila Vyasadeva incorporated in the very first opening verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse. So here, now what we saw here, and that has been shown as the characteristics in different Puranas of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, here, what we saw basically, I'm just going to summarize the major highlights, that Gayatri Mantra only not to be recited openly. It cannot be even chanted by everyone unless one is twice, vijiborn, twice born. That means one is a natural biological birth, and second is spiritual initiation. And according to Vedic tradition, only Brahmanas, Vaishya, Kshatriya, they are the one, when they're born, after a certain age, when the boy comes of age, then he receives this thread ceremony, sacred thread ceremony, Upanayan Samskar. And that is why, that is where everybody is able to hear me?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you. So, there is where when one receives Gayatri Mantra, there is when he is qualified to chant Gayatri Mantra. And that too also not in public, not loudly, very, very soft, right within the mind only. Now, and the lowermost, the Shudras, and in fact, Kali Yuga, every one of us has Shudras, you know. So we are not supposed to chant. Now, of course, how lately it is this Vedic injunction is being openly violated by this Gayatri Parivar. They encourage everyone to openly chant regardless of qualification or not, you know. Here you see that Matsya Purana, it identifies these different characteristics that Srimad Bhagavatam, that has this Gayatri Mantra. Now, because Gayatri Mantra is not openly said, so Srila Vyasadeva, what he did, he does not take any of the syllables except the last syllable, Dhimahi, he takes. But all the syllables are actually represented in the different sections of this very first opening mantra, actually. That we went through all the different characteristics of Gayatri Mantra, how it is mentioned by Srila Vyasadeva. Then also there's a glorification that here again it is mentioned. If you copy it and give it away, mounted on a golden throne on the full moon of Bhadra, you will firmly, what is that? Previous one. So what is it? You make a copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam and mount it on a golden throne in the shape of a lion, and then give it away so that you will get all the spiritual benefits. So that is what is mentioned there. Supreme goal you will attain there. So so then I showed that mantra also and how different syllables are represented there. So now, moving next onwards, next PowerPoint. So then we also saw how different Puranas glorify. We already saw Matsya Purana, then Garuda Purana, Skanda Purana, and so on like that. Now here, this particular PowerPoint, you see Devi Bhagavatam. So many of the major characteristics, particularly the five major characteristics of Srimad Bhagavatam are also shared by this Devi Bhagavatam. So the followers of Devi Bhagavatam, they claim that this glorification of Bhagavatam that is mentioned in the Puranas is not Srimad Bhagavatam, but actually Devi Bhagavatam. Now, Srila Jiva Goswami, anticipating that, he very... effectively refutes that claim, actually, and showing that, yes, there are these five major characteristics, but then there are at least four distinguishing characteristics that differentiate Srimad Bhagavatam from Devi Bhagavatam. And again, quoting those four or five Puranas and showing that that indeed it is actually Srimad Bhagavatam. So what are the characteristics that is shown here? So I actually shown in the tabular form, if you can quickly show that the next PowerPoint will be. So here, see that that's, in fact, that is shown with this Hayagriva Brahma Vidya, that is the transcendental knowledge. Actually, it turns out that is Narayan Kavacha. So here is the differentiation between Srimad Bhagavatam and Devi Bhagavatam. What are the similarities? That there are 12 cantos, 18,000 verses, and there is a mention of Ritrasura. Again, this is a point I would like to make very clear here. We are going to go through in this Sandarbha and rest of the Sandarbhas also, because remember, all these six Sandarbhas, they are going to elaborate, Jiva Goswami is going to elaborate the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a very good idea to keep track of the verses and the topics that we'll be covering in this
Welcome Sandarbha. To the conference center. Please enter your moderator code.
Hare Krishna. I think it's... Okay, so here, so that is very common between Devi Bhagavata and Srimad Bhagavatam. The narration of Ritrasura also, although it is shown a little bit differently, as I just spelled out in the last week in a class, actually. There are subtle differentiation, variations. And again, there in Devi Bhagavatam, it's the Devi, Durga Devi, is glorified. The same glorification that we just saw that about the golden throne, here Devi Bhagavatam follows, they are saying that is because lion is a carrier of Durga Devi, so that is what she is mentioned. But what are the distinguishing characteristics that is mentioned in these Puranas and that is only present in Srimad Bhagavatam? So that is the Gayatri Mantra actually specifically mentioned here. And Hayagriva Brahma Vidya and the events that occurred actually in this current day of Lord Brahma, the Kalpa, you know, Saraswata Kalpa or Sweta Varaha Kalpa. And the story is basically here, it's the higher Shira or the head of a horse, actually mentioned is Dadichi Rishi. It's mentioned here, what is it? Okay, so here, the story I'll very briefly again mention here. It was a Dadichi Rishi who had performed severe austerities. And because of that, and his severe austerities to the Supreme Lord and his devotional service, his entire body became really like invincible, you know. And he... was reciting this transcendental knowledge called Brahma Vidya. So what happened, these two demigods, Ashwini Kumars, the twin brothers, who are celestial physicians, they wanted to get this knowledge, but the Lord Indra had forbidden for them to receive that knowledge because they were physicians. They were not qualified. And he also forbade Dadichi Rishi to impart that knowledge to Ashwini Kumars. And Dadichi Rishi had already promised Ashwini Kumars that he would indeed impart that knowledge. So when the Kumaras came, these two twin brothers came, Dadichi Rishi told them that, listen, I am strictly forbidden by Lord Indra because he said if I violate that promise to him, he's going to cut off my head. So the Ashwini brothers says, don't worry about it. Because we are the physicians, what we are going to do, we are going to chop off your head and we'll replace with the head of a horse. And from the horse head, you impart that knowledge to us. So when Indra comes and he chops off your head, we will replace your original head back then and will revive you that. So that is how the Dadichi Rishi ended up imparting that knowledge to Ashwini brothers. You know? So that story is not mentioned anywhere else actually. Here it is very clearly mentioned. So that is a typical of Srimad Bhagavatam, a distinguishing characteristic. And then also there's a mention about the in one of the Puranas that this Bhagavatam recital was done by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And later Sudha Goswami is going to narrate Bhagavatam to the sages from Daivishanya. Again, that is not mentioned, that is not mentioned in Devi Bhagavata. So here very effectively, Jiva Goswami proved that the Bhagavatam that is mentioned in these various Puranas is indeed Srimad Bhagavatam and not Devi Bhagavatam. Moving on that, let's move forward. Okay, so here it is again, further identification, this time from Skanda Purana, more or less identical to what we just heard from Matsya Purana, that based, it's again, Srimad Bhagavatam is based on Gayatri Mantra and describes Dharma in its fullest extent. And Dharma is actually, again, the Dharma that is specifically recommended for the age of Kali. And that is pure devotional service unto Sri Krishna. And again, that also, Skanda Purana also narrated the story of Dhritarashtra, killing of Dhritarashtra, and occurring again in the present Kalpa. Same verse is also found in Agni Purana. Moving on to next one. Okay, so we already covered so far that Srimad Bhagavatam mentions Gayatri Mantra and then also it explains here the meaning of Mahabharata also, and that is discussion based in Garuda Purana. The Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Now, this remember Srila Vyasadeva compiled all the four Vedas. One Veda he divided into four Vedas. Then he wrote Upanishads. And then at the end, summarized all the Vedas in Vedanta Sutra in a very terse, very specific few words, phrases, each of those basic mantras. So that's called Vedanta Sutra, which is the end of that, summary of that. But because they are so terse and esoteric, it was subject to different kind of interpretations. And some of the philosophers, they also wrote their own commentaries on Vedanta Sutra also. So because of that, Srimad Bhagavatam, that again composed by, again written by, compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, and he showed that Srimad Bhagavatam is also a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So it's a summary of the summary. So Vedanta Sutra itself is the essence of all Vedic literature, right? It Vedanta, end of Vedanta. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the further condensed essence of the Vedanta Sutra. So it's a highly condensed summary, saram, of the Vedic literature. Then we also compare about the whether Srimad Bhagavatam, the 19th Purana also not, Sri Yogi Swami says, no, it's not. Because when he compiled the 18 Puranas beginning, that Srimad Bhagavatam that was basically it's in a very subtle form. In fact, using that subtle form of Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote this Mahabharata. But then after Narada Muni came, because he did all this work, he compiled Vedas, Upanishads, 18 Puranas, Vedanta Sutra, and still he was not satisfied. He felt that something was lacking, and this account is given in Srimad Bhagavatam first came to chapter 4 and 5, you know. And he was quite stressed about that. And he kind of suspected, because he did not delineate pure devotional service unto Shri Krishna and Krishna's transcendental attributes. And that is why he was feeling unsatisfied. And sure indeed, when Narada Muni, his spiritual master, came and confirmed, and he asked him to again recompile Srimad Bhagavatam. He glorified him. At the same time, he even chastises him also that how that would kind of mislead common people, because in Mahabharata and elsewhere, he described this dharma based on material pursuits. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, you know. So people can do religious principles, follow religious principle only for the economic development and material pursuits. And ultimately, of course, the liberation. But pure devotional service goes well beyond that, you know. So that's why, you know, he asked him to go in samadhi, and Lord himself will reveal to you about everything. And that's how he did. In fact, there's a whole section devoted to that. We will be discussing in about a couple of weeks about Srila Vyasadeva's incredible supercognitive samadhi trance, you know, how he got that. So that's how we actually then compile Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is what we see today, is that Bhagavatam. So it was composed in its maturity. So that is the brief history of Srimad Bhagavatam. That is itself is given in the Bhagavatam. And about the meaning of Mahabharata. Now, why did Srila Vyasadeva compile Mahabharata? Because the common people, especially in Kali Yuga, which we are all Shudras, so we are not allowed to study even here Vedas. So how are they going to become liberated? So that was the main concern. So out of a great compassion, Vyasadeva wrote this, compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is indeed the as I just said, the condensed summary of the Vedas, because Vedanta Sutra is the Vedic literature in summary, and the condensed summary of that is in Srimad Bhagavatam, and that can be openly studied by everyone in Kali Yuga. So then that's how they can be also liberated. So that was the one reason for that. So Srimad Bhagavatam very easily explains all the basic the ingredients of Vedanta, Vedic literature. Now in text 22, of course, he goes in much greater detail about the how Srila Vyasadeva incorporated the different syllables of Gayatri Mantra, not openly, but in a very hidden way in this very first opening verse, actually, in the different syllables. So except the only word that he used originally of the Gayatri Mantra is Dhimahi. Dhimahi means let us all meditate upon this lotus feet of Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, Satyam Param Dhimahi. So that is what it is mentioned in great detail here. Srimad Bhagavatam, the Samaveda among the Puranas. Samaveda is considered the top Vedas. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita also, I am the Samaveda of all the Vedas. So Srimad Bhagavatam is also like among all the 18, all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost. And so we already, I give the verse. So let us move on. Let's move on. Sanjay Prabhu. So now we'll move on to the power of 14, I believe. Yes, correct. Thank you. So this is the today's session on text, on lesson 7. So now we'll be discussing about the Anuchedas 23 onwards to 26. Now here, as just you see that this is where is elaborated how Srimad Bhagavatam is self-authoritative. It is not dependent on any other Puranas or any other Vedic literature at all. By in itself, it's a, by its own right, it is authoritative. That's what he is going to show. So there are four sub-themes here. Text 23 and 24.1, that's where he is going to show how different commentaries of Srimad Bhagavatam that establishes this independent nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that we will elaborate that particular section. And the second one, text 24.2 to 24.3, that is where it is going to substantiate, Jiva Goswami is going to substantiate that Srimad Bhagavatam fully explains its own position. It's not dependent on any other Puranas or even Vedas, even, you know. So, and then, of course, that comes the preeminent position of Sukadeva Goswami, text 25, 26.1. And finally, 26.2, 26.3, there's a concluding confirmation of the unique importance of Bhagavatam. So in this entire, this four texts, 23 to 26, we are going to study and we are going to see how Srila Jiva Goswami is going to establish that this Srimad Bhagavatam is self-authoritative. Okay, let's discuss the first one. Various commentaries. At the time of Srila Jiva Goswami, there were many, many commentaries were there, of course. Most of them are not even available today, you know. Probably due to being eclipsed by Bhavartha Deepika, that is the commentary written by Sridhar Swami in 14th century. That, in fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also recognizes the authority of Sridhar Maharaj, Sridhar Swami Maharaj, who wrote that commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam. But here we will go through different commentaries mentioned. And here, Srila Jiva Goswami in text 23 opens up with this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Now again, as I mentioned to you, that in this very section, he's going to show Srimad Bhagavatam is a self-authoritative. So that statement is there right within Srimad Bhagavatam that substantiate that claim that the Srimad Bhagavatam is not dependent on anything else, any other Puranas else, you know. And then he quotes this verse when Suta Goswami was asked by the sages of Naimisharanya that what happened when Krishna left, all the jnana knowledge and the dharma, the religious principles also left with him. So what did happen? Then what is the, how the people in Kali Yuga is going to be looking for what that? Where are they going to look for the religious principles? So to that, to answer to that, he quotes this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, third chapter, 43rd verse. So here, when Shanaka Rishi questions Sita Goswami where religion would take shelter now that Krishna had returned to his own abode, that's where Sita Goswami is quoting that verse, actually. So that verse, let me read that verse. It's actually, let me read the verse first. Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Dana Adi Bihisaham Kalav Nashta Drasham Esha Puranarka Adunodita. So Krishna Swadhama Upagate, when Krishna left for his own abode after accomplishing his mission, along with him, of course, all the religious principle dharma and jnana, science and knowledge, everything went with him also to his abode. So what happened in Kalau, in the age of Kali, Nashta Drasham Esa, all the, it's a here, the translation, the Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun, Purana Arka. Purana means this Mahapurana, Srimad Bhagavatam, Arka is the sun. So it is like as brilliant as the sun and is risen just after the departure of Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. So persons who have lost their vision due to the dark, dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. So here you see that sun is the self-illuminating power. Okay. So all the darkness will obviously dissipate. You know, the same way in Kali Yuga, Srimad Bhagavatam actually representing Krishna himself in the sound is sound vibration. So just like sun dissipates all the darkness, same way we also get the religious principles that are specifically recommended in the age of Kali are going to be given within Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is going to illuminate. So it's just like a sun. A sun is the sustainer of life, all life forms on planet Earth, you know, on all the planets. The same way Srimad Bhagavatam also will provide all the religious principles, all the religious practice in the age of Kali, just like the sun. So it's a self-illuminating. So it is indeed, it is Krishna himself, a sound, a literary incarnation of Krishna. So that is the first, this particular verse is quoted by Jiva Goswami in this particular Anuchara. Very, very important verse, you know. So how Srimad Bhagavatam became manifest from Krishna to Brahma to Narada, there is again is a quotation of this four seed verses, Chatushloki Bhagavatam. It's given in the second canto, ninth chapter, text 33 to 36, you know. That was given at the very, very beginning of creation, when the only living entity was Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma was enlightened by Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Right within his heart, his four seed verses were imparted to him, you know, all the basic knowledge by which Brahma came to know about his mission, that he is to do this secondary creation, different planetary systems and different living forms and so on like that. And he got into pure devotional service by these four seed verses. That is the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So then Brahmaji expanded to Narada Muni, his son and his disciple, and Narada Muni in turn gave it to Srila Vyasadeva. So four seed verses is they are expanded into 133 verses that is given actually in the chapter 5, 6, and 7 of Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll give you the verse. Yes, this is the second chapter. Second canto, chapter 5, verse 9. So again, I'm telling you this. Somebody could volunteer me. They could, as we go along to all the six sandarbhas, we'll be going through different verses within Srimad Bhagavatam, and they are the most important verses because, after all, this sandarbhas giving the very essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this forms that basis actually. So this, how these four seed verses are expanded into 133 verses by Narad Muni, which was actually enlightened by Sri Brahmaji, you know. So Narad Muni enlightened in turn to Srila Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva then expanded this 133 verses into 18,000 verses as he was himself enlightened within his trance, you know, that supercognitive trance. So what are these 133 verses? The second canto, chapter 9, chapter 5, text 9, to second canto, chapter 7, verse 53. You know. So here I'll read this thing. Under Narada's guidance, Srila Vyasadeva discovered in meditation the complete eternal Bhagavatam, which he then taught to his son Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami then spoke this in full Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj in the last 7 days of Parikshit Maharaj's life. And finally, later on, Suta Goswami narrates Bhagavatam the sages of Naimisharanya headed by Sharanath Rishi. You know? So that is how the how Srimad Bhagavatam originated, came into existence, that is given. So that, again, showing the independent nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. You know? So that is indeed Sri Krishna himself. So there are various commentaries he mentions about that, Sri Jiva Goswami. There are so many, actually. And as I told you, many of these commentaries are not even available today, you know. And it's probably because over time, it is Sridhar Swami's commentary and Bhavartha Deepika that becomes very prominent. In fact, here it is mentioned, this is the book, this is the book written by Gopi Paramdhan Prabhu, Commentary on Tattva Sandarbha. Bhavartha Deepika by Sridhar Swami is one of the oldest extant Bhagavatam commentaries, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu respected Bhavartha Deepika as standard authority, commentators in the line of Sri Chaitanya, including Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who also wrote commentaries later on based on that, and including Sanatana Goswami also wrote. Their source was about this Sridhar Swami's commentaries. So Lord Chaitanya says that Sridhar Swami is the spiritual master of the entire world, because by his mercy we can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. I therefore accept him as spiritual master. This is Lord himself says it. So among the various commentaries, one mentioned about the Hemadri, you know, it's mentioned in the here. Even commentaries, authorities in mundane matters like Hemadri sometimes acknowledge the greatness of Srimad Bhagavatam. In his Chatur Varga Chintamani and other textbooks for smart brahmanas, Hemadri corroborated the Bhagavatam's opinion that Nam Sankirtana, which is Lord Chaitanya's movement, the congregation chanting of Lord's names, Krishna's names, is the most suitable religious practice in the age of Kali. So then came about the mention about next PowerPoint, please. So next PowerPoint, so that is the text 23 in the first section of 24. This mentioned about, so right there, Sri Goswami establishes the authoritative nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then came Shankaracharya. Now Shankaracharya, remember Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva, and Lord Shiva himself is the greatest Vaishnava. So thereby Shankaracharya, being a devotee of Krishna, he would not dare to comment on Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, out of his great respect, because Shankaracharya, as he is incarnation of Lord Shiva, so Lord Shiva was ordered by none other than the Lord himself that he would expand the theory of monism and thereby, you know, Advaitavada philosophy, which is in direct opposition to what Vaishnavas, what we talk about. And that is mainly so that to bewilder those Srinivadis, because at the time, of Shankaracharya, Buddhism was well prevalent over there, you know. And Lord Buddha rejected the authority of the Vedas, you know, because in the name of Vedas, there were too much animal sacrifices became rampant, actually, you know. So to re-establish the authority of the Vedas, Shankaracharya established this. But he established this monism theory that there is, you know, the soul, there's no difference in soul, there's no super soul, it's a soul. When under ignorance, that's how he becomes trapped by the influence of the three modes of material nature. But when soul gets enlightened by strict austerities and so on, and studying of the Vedanta, then that soul, individual soul, can himself becomes the absolute truth, like that, you know. So it's like a monism theory, and which is, of course, direct violation, you know, of the Vaishnava Siddhanta. But nonetheless, he reestablished the Vedic authority by thereby, you know. So because Shankaracharya was his incarnation of Lord Shiva, he did not want to disrespect by writing commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam says about the pure devotional service unto Sri Krishna as person. He is a person, you know, not impersonal Brahman. That Shankaracharya was expanding on that, you know. So because of that, he did not do that. So he did not write commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Nonetheless, his subsequent followers took that and misinterpreted that, and they wrote commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So later on, Madhvacharya came along. Madhvacharya had taken sannyasa in the line of Shankaracharya Sampradaya. You know, that's why his name, in fact, he is known as Ananda Tirtha, because Shankaracharya's sannyasis have these 10 names, Guri, Giri, Puri, Bharti, One Tirtha, Ashram, and so on like that. So my ancestors also belong to that. So that's why my name is, my family name is Giri, you know. So here, Madhvacharya took names, sannyasa name as Tirtha. So his name was Ananda Tirtha. But when he came across Srimad Bhagavatam, he realized the personal nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So he totally disregarded the Sri theory, and he was vehemently opposed the philosophy, the monism philosophy, and Mayavada philosophy of Shankaracharya. So he wrote his own commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam Tatparya Nirnaya, you know. That's what he wrote, you know. So right there, he introduced the bhakti path for realizing the Supreme, you know. So later on, within in Madhvacharya, his grand disciple is Madhvendra Puri, and Madhvendra Puri's disciple is Ishwar Puri, and Ishwar Puri's disciple happens to be Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord himself, when he came in the disguise of his own devotee, he decided, he accepted Ishwar Puri as his guru, actually. Because of devotional path that was undertaken by Ishwar Puri in the line of Madhvacharya. So that commentary is also been discussed by Srila Jiva Goswami. You know. And still later, Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared his own devotee, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And he further established, of course, how in the age of Kali, it is just the Nam Sankirtana is the recommended path for recommended path of devotional service unto Sri Krishna. So that is this basic summary of text 23 and the first part of 24, you know, Anucheda 24. So rest of the Anucheda 24, section 24, is given here. As I just told you about the Madhvacharya's commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami explains Madhvacharya's reason for commenting on Srimad Bhagavatam, which I just explained to you. Now, Shankaracharya, as I just mentioned, he did not write commentary. In fact, he himself was, because he is the he's the incarnation of Lord Shiva, so he in fact wrote poems glorifying Krishna's pastimes depicted in Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, Vraja Govindam also, it was written by him. But some of his followers, not understanding his true intention, took this as a license to try to interpret Srimad Bhagavatam from their Mayavada viewpoint, you know. So that was his followers who did that. So now, coming to Sri Sukadeva Goswami's eminent position, preeminent position. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost scripture, and Sukadeva Goswami is a unique position as the speaker of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is discussed. Let's discuss that. And I just told you, Srimad Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam, is the highly condensed essence of all the Shrutis and Smritis. Again, what is Shruti? It's the four Vedas, Upanishad, Vedanta Sutra. That Shruti, that means one that is just heard, you know, and that is not subject to any changes, you know. Whereas Smritis are the Puranas and Itihas, you know. So here says the Srimad Bhagavatam is highly condensed, because remember I just told you that Srila Vyasadeva wrote Vedanta Sutra, which is the summary, the conclusions of all the four Vedas and Upanishads. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the condensed version of the Vedanta Sutra, explanation of that commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So that itself becomes now the very essence, condensed essence of all the Shrutis and Smritis. So that again establishes the independent nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a self-authoritative in that sense. So teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam rule over all the scriptures. Next PowerPoint, please. Let me read the text itself. This is just, we just summarize the highlights of it. So I want to read the text itself, because how Jiva Goswami states that the revered Sri Madhvacharya, Krishna's devotee recount, was in the direct disciplic succession of Shankaracharya. Remember, I just told you that he took sannyasa in that Shankaracharya, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did the same thing. After seeing Srimad Bhagavatam, however, he became an adherent of Vaishnava thought. Concerned that other Vaishnavas might be influenced by the commentaries of other followers of Shankaracharya, like Punya Aranya and so on like that, Madhva wrote his own explanation of Bhagavatam to show the correct way to understand its intended message. As the first canto of Bhagavatam itself aptly states, clearly states, Sri Vyasadeva delivered Srimad Bhagavatam to his son, the most respected among self-realized, after extracting the cream of the Vedic literature and histories of the universe. Now, Vyasadeva had many, many disciples, and a few of his disciples were given different Vedas and so on like that, to further expand on that. But he chose his son for this particular Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. Not because he was his son, but Sukadeva Goswami's position is very, very special. Sukadeva Goswami was, he's how he appeared, that is also discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a wonderful story, actually, you know. Sukadeva Goswami was in the womb of his mother, and he would not come out despite his mother's having difficulties, and until after Krishna himself had to promise him, because Sukadeva Goswami was liberated right there while he was in the womb of his mother, you know, and he did not want to become exposed in coming into the material world and come under the influence of three modes of material nature, you know. So when Krishna promised that he would not be affected, so by the time when he was born, he was already a 16-year-old youth, actually. And immediately after birth, he ran toward the forest. He did not want to say. So he ran, and after that, his father, Vyasadeva, came after him. Son, please return, please return. In fact, he prayed for Sukadeva Goswami to appear as his son, so that he would give a Srimad Bhagavatam for him to, you know, because Vyasadeva was a Trikalajna, you know, he knew past, present, future. So, and Sukadeva Goswami was meant to recite Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj, you know, during these last 7 days of his life, when he was, when Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die by a snake bite. This was the curse by Sringi, you know, the young boy, you know. So when Sukadeva Goswami ran towards the forest, and Vyasadeva was running after him to stop him. It so happened when they crossed, there was a lake there, and the young girls were taking bath, you know, completely naked, you know. So when Sukadeva Goswami passed by that lake, immediately these young girls covered themselves. Now Sukadeva Goswami, when he ran, he was 16-year-old, full prime of his youth, and he was completely naked himself, you know. He did not care for any kind of, kind of regular customs and so on like that. He did not even have his upanayan samskara also, actually, you know, that's mentioned. So he passed by, and as Vyasadeva came, so girls did not cover themselves up when young boy passed, you know. So when Vyasadeva came across that lake, immediately girls covered themselves. So Vyasadeva was kind of perplexed. How is it possible? Here is my young son, 16-year-old youth, completely naked, and you did not care, you know. Where I am a grihastha, an old man, and he called. So then the girls explained that your son does not know the difference between man and woman. That is, you do, you know. So that is the position of Sukadeva Goswami. He was so far advanced, right from his birth, you know, right when he was in the womb of his mother, actually, was far advanced. So here is further explained about Sukadeva Goswami's position. So when Sukadeva Goswami, later on, of course, fast forward, when Parikshit Maharaj learned about his curse from this young boy Sringi, he immediately gave up his kingdom and his family and everything, and came at the bank of Ganga and started fasting, you know, complete fasting till death. And at that time, the sages from the entire universe, all the major sages, and some of the, just interesting, if I read the list of the sages, they're really amazing, actually. All the topmost sages gathered there, you know. Yeah, just to give you knowledge, you know. I was amazed, you know, how all the topmost sages. It is well known that Sukadeva Goswami assumed the role of guru for all the sages who placed him in the seat of instructor for the assembly. At the time, all the great-minded thinkers, accompanied by their disciples, arrived there on the plea of making a pilgrimage journey. Simply by the presence, such sages verily sanctify a place of pilgrimage. From different parts of the universe, there arrived great sages like Atri Rishi. Now, many of the sages were even the time of Lord Ramachandra, in fact, you know. Vasishtha, Chevana, Saradvan, Arishtami, Bhrugu Rishi, Angira Rishi, Parasar Muni, Vishwamitra, Parshuram, you know, there many of them, quite a few of them, the incarnation of the Lord, Parshuram, Utatya, Indapramada, Idmurdu, Sage of, so many names are given, but just say the Bharadvaj Muni, Gautama Rishi, people are there, and so on like that. So what happened when Parikshit Maharaj, everybody came to know about that, you know. And they all gathered there. So Parikshit Maharaj, then when everyone gathered there, Parikshit Maharaj asked question to all the sages that what should a person should do, what is his duty, and especially at the time of death approaching like me within 7 days, what is my duty, what should I do? So the sages could not come to a conclusion about that. So that time this young boy came, Sukadeva Goswami, he was like an avadhuta, as I just told you. He did not care, he did not have any kind of material credentials. And he came there, immediately all the sages came, they respect gave him the high position, asana, you know. So in that assembly, Srila Vyasadeva was there, so his own father and spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, and Vyasadeva's spiritual master, Narad Muni, was also there, you know. And Vyasadeva's father, Parasar Muni himself, was also there, you know, among all the sages. So they all accepted this young boy, 16-year-old boy, as spiritual master guru. So that is the position of Sukadeva Goswami we are talking about, you know. So he said that upon his arrival, despite he had no material credentials, Sukadeva Goswami was honored as guru even by Vyasa, Narad Muni, Parasar Muni, And all the greatest sages of the universe gathered over there to hear his recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. So Jiva cites various references in support of his claim. Sukadev Goswami's presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam amazed even Vyasa and Narad Muni also, as if they never even heard Srimad Bhagavatam before. Now Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by Srila Vyasadeva himself, and he is the one who taught Srimad Bhagavatam to Sukadev Goswami. So Vyasadeva was amazed actually, and Narad Muni was the one who inspired Vyasadeva to compile Bhagavatam. The Narad Muni was also amazed. So that is the specialty of this Sukadev Goswami. No? It's just like, sometimes you wonder how it's possible, So it just thought occurred to me, and that when someone writes a book, author, and when that is made into a movie, how the author amazed when he sees his story, his written story in that book, comes into the big screen, how it is, screenplay is written, picturized on the actors, and so on like that, and it becomes so lively, then he becomes amazed, The same way I can imagine this might have happened like that, The way Sukadev Goswami recited with so great bhava, because Sukadev Goswami was already, at that time, it said that he was a Brahman realized sage, actually. But when he heard just a few verses, and that's how his father actually tricked him, when he would not come, and Vyasadeva wanted him to learn Bhagavatam, so he sent his disciple, and his disciples, when he was in the forest of Sukadev Goswami, they recited a few verses there, and immediately, and that verse actually is the glorification of Krishna's sweet beauty, actually, incredible beauty and sweetness. So that attracted even Sukadev Goswami, who was Brahman realization, and he was Atmarama, self-satisfied. So he was attracted. So that is the beauty of Srimad Bhagavatam, So Srimad Bhagavatam, then that was recited by Sukadev Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, So, and that even become more glorious than any other scriptures. The sweetness of the is compared to the famous verse, how Srimad Bhagavatam is compared to like a ripened fruit, its sweetness is further increased when it's taken a bite by a parrot. Sukha means it's parrot, So that's by just because it was recited, sung by Sukadev Goswami, and with great power. It was incredible. Its sweetness further increased. So it's the very representation of Krishna. And that is why it is said that, in fact, Srimad Bhagavatam, all the other Puranas are dependent on the Vedas, right? Because it's the Vedas that are explained by the Puranas. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not dependent on anything at all, not even the Vedas. Why? Because Vedas came out from the lotus mouth of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Lord Himself. And Srimad Bhagavatam, as we just heard, is indeed Krishna Himself. So clearly that is the independent nature of Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Krishna Himself. So that is totally independent. It's the very representation of Krishna. Next one, please. And now I want to read text 26. Before we read the summary of it. It's amazing how Srila Jiva Goswami just writes, is just incredible, Text 26. Both Srila Vyasadeva and Narada were present in that assembly. They were Sukadeva's spiritual master and grand spiritual master. And yet, as Srimad Bhagavatam emanated from Sukadeva's mouth, To them, it seemed like something they had never heard before. Thus, it is understood that Sukadeva Goswami acted as preceptor even for the two of them. So, he, preceptor means he appeared like Guru himself to his Guru and his Param Guru. It is said, so, after Guru, who is Guru actually? Who inspires us, who gives us the direct realization of the Supreme, you know? So even though his Guru, Vyasadeva and Parasamuni, when they heard Bhagavatam from Sukadeva Goswami, I'm sure they must have realized and, you know, face to face Krishna, you know? Thus it is understood that Sukadeva acted as preceptor even for the two of them. Who are two of them? Vyasadeva and Parasamuni. Third Muni also. It is said by being touched by Sukadeva's mouth, this fruit has become soft and full of nectar. For this reason also, Srimad Bhagavatam is superior to all the scriptures. Because it was sung by Sukadeva Goswami. You know, there is the beauty part of it. Even when we hear that the Matsya Purana and other Puranas are the greatest, there is only relative. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam is the exact image of Sri Krishna himself. And we need say nothing more. So see that? So when Sukadeva Goswami, when he said he must have brought Krishna right there in front of him, you know, it's just incredible. So this text further moves on. As the first canto states, this Srimad Bhagavatam is as brilliant as the sun. It has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his abode, accompanied by religion knowledge. So that verse 1.3.43, you know. Krishna Swadhama Upagate Dharma Jnana Adi Bhi Kalau Nashta Drasham Esha Puranarka Adunodhi. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. Therefore, so it is Krishna himself giving that knowledge, you know, to us. Therefore, we see that this scripture is uniquely endowed with all good qualities. This is shown by such states completely rejecting all religious activities. Now, this is again given in the second verse, second opening verse, where it's given that Prajita Dharma. In fact, it gives up all the Kaitava Dharma, Prajita Kaitava Dharma. All that religious principle that is not based on pure devotional service, they are rejected. So what we learn from Mahabharata, Dharma Jnana, Dharma Artha Kama Moksha, that principle is totally removed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Only that religious principle that is given is how to develop pure love for Krishna, Krishna Prema. There is the highest goal of human form of life. That is what being taught when we study Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. Therefore, we see that scripture is uniquely endowed with all good qualities. This is shown by such statement as completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated. So, materially motivated kind of religious principle is not there in the age of, it should not be there in the age of Kali, you know. As we see that many times, you know, those some ignorant grihasthas, they perform, they have performed that, what they call, certain sacrifices, Vedic sacrifices. I forgot the name of that term. Okay, it will come back. Persons who have lost their vision due to the... Therefore, we see that the scripture is uniquely endowed with all good qualities. This is shown by such statement as completely rejecting all religious activities that are materially motivated. And in the words of Hemadri's commentary on Mukta Phala, the Vedas, Puranas and poetic works instructed like a master, friend and lover. Now this is a very interesting thing. Master, friend and lover. It is the Vedic tradition actually. The Vedic tradition teaches us three ways. As a master, that means Vedas. Vedas are like a master giving orders to his servant. So it is expected, the servant is expected to follow that order without question. So it gives a connotation like a dictatorial, but it's not actually dictatorial. Vedic injunctions are like recommendations. and is left to the hearer to accept those recommendations as they feel, you know, as they see fit. So it is like it's injunctions that must be followed, you know, it's recommendation. Whereas Puranas are like friendly in a way that is explains, and its meaning of the Vedas become easier, like a friend, to explain to us. So that's how we accept that, you know, in a friendly way. Meanings become much easier to follow, you know. When you say that, when we buy the electronics and the manual comes, it's called user-friendly, you know, right? Don't you say that, user-friendly? User-friendly means it should be very clear and easily understandable, easily followed. So Puranas are like that. It makes those Vedic injunctions, which are very, very difficult to understand, in a very easily understandable manner, Srila Vyasadeva made those Puranas, you know. And especially by giving the historical examples, you know, that becomes easy to understand. And like Mahabharata, you know. Whereas lover, so when it's given in a poetic way, so it is like lover sweetness, you know. So Bhagavatam actually accompanies all three basic ways of Vedic tradition. It is also it's injunctions, it's also given in a friendly way, and also in a very loving, very poetic way also, you know, the way Srila Vyasadeva composed those verses. So Bhagavatam follows all three basic ways. So that is the supreme position of Srimad Bhagavatam. So let me read further. So even if some people think other Puranas are subordinate to the authority of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam directly denies this idea in regard to this itself. So see, again, this is very easy to, very important to understand this thing. Because some people claim that Puranas are subordinate, and this we came across in the previous lessons also, actually, now, and that's what was explained. Puranas, how it was explained before, the Puranas, the very meaning of Purana means Purana. Purana means it is complete. So if you study Vedas and if you don't study Puranas, then it is incomplete study. Because especially this is for the age of Kali, because this meaning is not understandable, you know. Whereas Puranas makes that meaning fully understandable. So it's full, complete when you also study Puranas, you know. But some people think that Puranas are subordinate to the Vedas because... what happened? So Puranas, they think it's a Bruti, part of Smriti, and it's subject to changes. They don't accept Puranas, many strict followers of Vedas, you know. So here it is corrected that further. Even if some people think that other Puranas are subordinate to the authority of the Vedas, Srimad Bhagavatam directly denies this idea in regard to itself. So this is again, so those limitations that we saw regarding the Puranas, those kind of limitations are not there. First of all, the Puranas, most of the Puranas are not complete, as we just saw that in previous class, that many of the Puranas, out of 1 billion verses that was left after Vyasa compiled Vedas, 4 Vedas and so like that, and then the remaining 1 billion verses he condensed into 400,000 verses. So lots of it is not there in the earthly planet anymore, actually. So they are not complete, most of the Puranas. So that is one of the limitations. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not there. All 18,000 verses that were there, they are still there today also, you know. It directly denies the idea and regards itself. In other words, the Bhagavatam independently asserts its own authority. Indeed, its authority is that of the highest Shruti, as indicated by the question, how did it so happen that King Parikshit met the great sage, making possible the speaking of the Shruti text? So that's where it's quoted. So important element here is about this recital by Sukadeva Goswami. Again, the question, how did it so happen that King Parikshit met the great sage, making possible the speaking of the Shruti text? So Bhagavatam is considered like a Shruti text, like Vedas, you know, because ultimately it is Krishna himself, and it is Krishna who gave the Vedas. So there is no difference. The conversation between Srila Vyasadeva and Narada in the first canto gives supporting evidence to our earlier statement that all the other Puranas were revealed first and then the Bhagavatam. So we are going to learn more in great depth when we come to the discussion how Srila Vyasadeva revealed that knowledge in his samadhi, supercognitive samadhi. Okay. So that is the end of the last PowerPoint. So what we saw today was this today's session actually, how Srila Jiva Goswami establishes here the complete independence of Srimad Bhagavatam as the epistemological validity, the perfect, it satisfies all the criteria that he laid right from before, you know, right in the beginning. So now rest of the Pramaya Khanda that he begins now is completely, he is relying on Srimad Bhagavatam after having proved that Srimad Bhagavatam does not depend on any other text, Vedic text. So he's going to quote only Srimad Bhagavatam. So next week, we'll discuss about Anucheda 27 and 28. Technically speaking, this first part of Tattva Sandarbha, the Pramana Khanda, it concludes right here. The next two Anuchedas, 27 and 28, is basically transition. So that's where he's going to summarize his approach. How he is going to analyze Srimad Bhagavatam to what is the goal? Goal is to realize the supreme truth, the absolute reality. So, and that he is going to rely now on Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So that's what, so going through that, what we learn about reality is what's covered in Pramaya Khanda. And the following week will begin. So what we'll do, next week we'll discuss Anucheda 27 and 28. And that's where we will know what is the approach of Jiva Goswami in how he's going to analyze Srimad Bhagavatam. You know? And then before we begin Pramaya Khanda, I'm going to devote, hopefully if Krishna permits, we are going to devote the whole class on summarizing the highlights of the entire Pramana Khanda that we discuss up to text 27-28, you know, to make sure that we understood, we understand the basic highlights, how Srila Jiva Goswami, beginning with how he considered the Vedas are the perfect Pramana, apaurusha shabda Pramana. Apaurusha means it's of the divine origin, not of human origin. And that's why the Vedas, Vedic scriptures, are the best means of that. And among the Vedic scriptures is the Puranas, because Vedic scriptures have certain limitations. We already gone through that, but we are going to refresh that. What are the limitations of Vedic scriptures, the four Vedas, you know? And then how he next suggests the Puranas, because Puranas don't have that limitation, because Vedas are given in the Vedic Sanskrit. And many of the Vedic knowledge is not even available today. Only 6% of the Vedic verses are available on the planet Earth. So then came the come the Puranas, you know. And then Puranas, how it does not have that kind of limitation. And yet, but it does have a limitation of other kind. It very easily explains in the Laukik Samskrita, but that also, Puranas also, most of the Puranas also lost, you know. Not all in complete knowledge, you know. So that we'll go through that again, refresh that, and then how Srimad Bhagavatam comes into play. So we'll just all these things we'll summarize the basic highlights in the next class, next to next class, you know, before we begin Pramaya Khanda, because it's a very complex topic, as you can see very clearly. So we want to make sure, because this is this particular first part of Tattva Sandarbha is the foundation for us to understand and realize the rest of the five Sandarbhas. So if we don't understand this, it'll be very difficult. So I want to make sure that our foundation is strong, you know. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Thank you for your time. So let's see, we have quite some time for questions. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the chat from the Chaitanya Prabhu and Krishna.
It's very disturbance, I cannot listen. Can you put it in chat window, please, so I can read? Here, Chaitanya and Rajeshwari Mataji, we say that Vyasa is a post. How do we understand Sukadeva Goswami's position in reference to Vyasa Maharshi? Does he also come every time to impart Srimad Bhagavatam? Vyasa is a position, that's correct. But this Vyasa, his name is Krishna Dvaipayana Vyasa, and his unique that we learned. What is his uniqueness? That he is the only Vyasa. Other Vyasa also comes in every every 28 millennium. But they are not the incarnation of Lord Narayana. This particular Vyasa is the incarnation of Lord Narayana, you know. So that is the uniqueness of that. Now, but whether Sukadeva Goswami comes, I don't know. I assume so. I don't know. Because that is not given. So, I don't know, it will be speculation on my parts. I'm not sure about that. But here, Sukadeva Goswami's position, mission was to narrate Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. That was the whole purpose. I'm sorry, so probably I don't know for sure, you know, so I would decline. Unless someone else has knowledge, please share with us. Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Nilima Mataji. Atul Prabhu is asking, what is Apaurusha? Apaurusha means, Purush means it's the human beings, you know, Purusha. Apaurusha means of not human origin. That means divine origin. Straight from the personality of Godhead. So both Vedas, Puranas, they come from the Lord Himself. And they were imparted to Brahmaji. In Brahmaji's mouth, then He came. So then Srimad Bhagavatam is Apaurusha. Yes, indeed. In fact, Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. That is what the message we are getting. That particular verse, 1.3.43. Gopinath Prabhuji, Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhuji, just curious, with respect to Sripad Shankaracharya propagating impersonalism, we hear that Shankaracharya was instrumental in establishing Vishnu worship in four corners of India, Char Dham. I don't know if he did not, he himself was a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, but he did not preach openly about this worship Lord as a person. So these four ashramas that he established, I don't think that was for the Lord Vishnu worship, you know. That about Advaita Vada philosophy, that he believed that is the supreme Brahman, that is the topmost. But within himself, because he is the incarnation of Lord Shiva, that's why. But Lord Shiva himself was directly ordered by Lord Vishnu to preach Advaitavada philosophy, you know. So that is the reason he opened it and preached the devotional service under the Supreme Person. Rather he preached it is the Supreme Brahman, impersonal Brahman, as the topmost of absolute truth. So in that way, it is not that correct, Prabhuji. Yeah, that's my understanding. Gopi Prabhu. Okay, Atul Prabhu, what is the Deepika book? Yeah, that is Bhavartha Deepika. That is the commentary of Srimad Bhagavatam by Sridhar Swami Maharaj. Bhavartha Deepika, that's correct. Nilima Mataji, thank you. Gopi Prabhu. He heard from Badrinath Gopi Prabhu. No, as far as my understanding goes, it's that he was, Lord Shiva was ordered, and it's mentioned, it's quoted in Padma Purana, you know, that Lord Shiva was directly ordered by Lord Vishnu to preach Advaitavadi philosophy to bewilder those Bodhis, you know, impersonalist. Even though Lord Shiva himself was a great devotee, he is the greatest Vaishnava. So thereby, even Shankaracharya, that's why he composed those prayers in glorification of Lord Krishna's pastimes that is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay. Raman Krishna Prabhuji. Shankara introduced Pancha Upasana, correct. Worship of Shiva, Durga, Vishnu, Ganesh, Kumara. That is there, and yet their Mayavada philosophy is to establish the impersonal Brahman as higher than this Pancha Upasana. Pancha Upasana only for the people who do not have higher intellectual power to study the Vedas. That's why they preach this Pancha Upasana, this five demigods. And they consider even Vishnu also is one of the demigods, you know. In the same level as Lord Shiva and others. So that is an offense. That is again my answer. He said worship of anyone is same as worship. Yeah, correct. As Brahman. So he did bring temples that worship all these classes. That is just to attract people, you know, bring back to their school. But the main preaching is the supreme Brahman, Brahman realization. That is the supreme goal. All right. Any other questions coming? Yeah, Gopi Prabhu. Prabhuji, we heard at length that Srimad Bhagavatam and Purana's Ityas are important same as Vedas, but people at large mention that Vedas come from the Lord, so they are more authentic. But we also learn, Prabhuji, here Jiva Goswami mentions that both Vedas and Puranas, they all came from the Supreme Lord. And here, followed by Lord Brahma's four mouths, because very first part, Sri Jiva Goswami spends showing us that the Puranas are actually part of the Vedas. Remember that example given that the one Veda, which is Yajur Veda, divided into four Vedas, and Yajur Veda takes the bulk of the old Vedic literature. Okay, so and Puranas are the small part of it. So usually, when something which is larger in number, you go back there. So people accept, people misunderstood that Vedas is the only one which came from the Supreme Lord. But actually Vedas means it is also part, Puranas also came from that. It's part of the whole knowledge. In fact, we discussed even the possible question Jiva Goswami asked, that some people might question that, if Vedas, that Vyasa divided one Veda into four Vedas, but actually four Vedas come from the four different mouths of the Lord Brahma. How is it possible? Then it is explained that actually whole Vedas, Puranas, everything came from this. And Yajurveda is being the largest. The example was also given, how this we have a hand with four fingers and thumb. But when you say somebody, this is five fingers, we don't count thumb as one because the majority is the fingers, you know. It's exactly like the herd of cows. If there are 90 cows and let 5 or 10 buffaloes are there, so what we say herd of cows, we don't say buffaloes are included in that. The same way, even the Vedas and Puranas, everything was there, but Yajurveda being the largest, then people have this misconception that only Vedas came from the Supreme Lord. But actually, in reality, everything came from that, you know. Even Puranas also came from the Supreme Lord. Okay, Vijay Prabhu. If Brahma expanded the Chatushloki to Srimad Bhagavatam, then is Srimad Bhagavatam with all the chapters we have is a Purusha or only the Chatushloki is Purusha? No, everything is a Purusha. What he expanded, the Lord gave the four seed verses. So the origin is obviously a Purusha. So when the origin itself is further explained, that doesn't become human origin. It's just explanation, further division of that, you know. I wouldn't call it even a division. It's just the expansion of that. So it's not of human origin. Naveen Krishna, but that's a good question actually. Thank you, Vijay Prabhu. Naveen Prabhu, what are Smriti Shastras? Are Puranas counted among the Smriti? Yes. Smriti Shastra is Puranas, Itihas, they consider Smriti Shastra. But here, Jiva Goswami proved that Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it is part of the 18 Puranas, and yet it is supreme even among the Vedas also. Now, why? Because Vedas came from Krishna. And here, Srimad Bhagavatam is indeed non-different from Krishna, is a literary incarnation. So in that regard, it is way, it's independent, it's not dependent. Vedas and Puranas are dependent, but Srimad Bhagavatam is completely independent, self-authoritative. That is what Jiva Goswami is establishing, that fact. Because it is non-different from Krishna, by that verse that is quoted, Krishna Swadhama Upagate, Dharma Jnana Adibhi Saha, Kalav Drashta, Kalav Nashta Drasham Eshe, Puranarko Adunagitaham. That when Krishna left along with religion and Jnana knowledge, then in the age of Kali, this dense darkness of Kali Yuga was removed by the sun of Srimad Bhagavatam. So like the sun is self-illuminating, Srimad Bhagavatam is also self-illuminating. So it is replacing Krishna in Kali Yuga. So Krishna himself came in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that way it's non-different from Krishna. So clearly that means it is totally independent, you know. That is the most powerful verse Sri Jiva Goswami quotes in support of that claim. Thank you, Vijay Prabhu. Kupi Prabhu, Prabhuji, it is also mentioned that Itihas, example Mahabharata, manifest over a period of time. How do we understand that? Again, remember, Mahabharata manifest 5,000 years ago. Nonetheless, it existed just like, Krishna came 5,000 years. Does it mean that Krishna only came from 5,000 years? Krishna appeared all the time. he appeared in the earthly planet. So Mahabharata and all these things were already there, is part of, it came from Krishna all the time. It manifests and unmanifests, that's all. It doesn't mean that it came into existence. It's not like that, you know. So Vyasa gave it in written form 5,000 years ago. You know, the whole things happened there. The whole Mahabharata episode, historical thing happened there. But it does not mean that it did not exist. It existed in the subtle form. Remember that verse that we just came across when Jiva Goswami explains that when he compiled this 18 Mahapuranas, he had this Srimad Bhagavatam in a subtle form, and using that subtle form, that knowledge, he wrote this Mahabharata. Right? And then after following Narada Muni's order, he went to this Samadhi. And then he recompiled Srimad Bhagavatam in today's form that we see today, you know, in 18,000 years. But that does not mean that Srimad Bhagavatam did not exist. It's just like Krishna is eternal. So all Vedas, Puranas, there is no age for that. It's eternally existing. It's part of Krishna. So Atul Babu said, is Mahabharata Upavrusha as well? All Vedas, Puranas, everything, all the Vedic literature is Upavrusha. If that is the right, very first thing that Jiva Goswami establishes, Vedic scriptures, Vedic knowledge is Upavrusha. So Mahabharata, Puranas, Vedas, they are of Vedic origin. Thank you, Prabhuji. Are there any more questions, comments? So if you could, if some more questions come into mind, please do write to me, you know, and I'll try my best to respond.
Unless you can put the...
Are there some more questions, comments? Raman Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your comments. Thank you, compliments. Thank you. It's all mercy of all of you, you know. Haribol. So I think it's time for us to conclude the class now. So if Sanjay Prabhu is okay with you, I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class with Nashima prayer. So please, if you have more questions, please write to me, all right? Haribol. Dishana, let's have the Nashima prayer. Thank you very much.
Namasti Narasimhaya, Namasti Narasimhaya, Praladaladadayine, Praladaladadayine, Hiranyakasipurvakshaha, Hiranyakasipurvakshaha, Silatankanakalaye, Silatankanakalaye, Ito Narsimha Parato Narsimho, Ito Narsimha Parato Narsimho, Yato Yato Yamitato Narsimha, Yato Yato Yamitato Narsimha, Bahir Narsimho Hrudaye Narsimho, Bahir Narsimho Hrudaye Narsimho, Narsimha Madim Saranam Prapade, Narsimha Madim Saranam Prapade, Tavakara Kamalavari Nakam Adbuddha Sringam Dalita Hiranyakasipu Tanubringam Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hari Jai Jagadisha Hari Jai Jagadisha Hari Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Jagadisha Hari Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Narsimha Dev Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Jaya Prahlad Maharaj, Nitai Gora Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gora Hari Bol, Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev. All glories to the devotees. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare
Krishna. Thank you very much, Dishala. Thank you so much. Thank you all of you also. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to all the assembled Vaishnavas. So I look forward to receiving your association next week. Next week we'll discuss text 27 and 28. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna.